This is VSiN Prime Time, live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Hour number three of VSiN Prime Time here on this Monday evening, Game 5 of the NBA Finals at a media timeout. 3 minutes and 50 seconds to go in the first quarter. The Oklahoma City Thunder lead 23-16. That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray. Matt, we got off to a really fast start here. Total got as high as 235.5, and now it's slowed down a little bit. Where are we at right now from a live total standpoint?
About 225.5. So, Tim, close to where we started pregame. And again, this went up to, like you said, 235.5, down 10 points. Pacers right now, 11.5-point underdogs, which doesn't make me feel great about taking 9.5 pregame, but you never know for sure. You know, Pacers might have gotten off to a fast start tonight, got the lead, and you feel good about taking 9.5, but that's not the case. Right now, 11.5, so that's the live number of DraftKings. The money line up to -520. This money line dropped as low as 270. At one point, the Pacers had a 12-11 lead. OKC was -270. Now it's -520. I'm hoping the Pacers can put together some sort of a big run here late in the first quarter or second quarter, tighten this thing up a little bit. But, Tim, since the hot shooting start, the Pacers have certainly cooled off here. They missed three threes in a row.
You know, it's interesting. Oklahoma City, similar to game one, Matt, forcing a ton of turnovers. They've already forced 6 turnovers.
That's way too many.
But they've now missed 6 of their last 8 shots. So things, as you alluded to, slowing down a little bit. There was an incredible play, a breakout steal. I think it was Alex Caruso on the break. And Benedict Mathurin, who had the game of his life in game 3, going for 27 points, chased down from behind and swatted Caruso off the backboard. It was a hell of a defensive play. I mean, this series from an intensity standpoint has been just top level stuff. It feels like all throughout these 5 games.
Hey, you got teams playing for a championship. It should be. I mean, aside from when the Pacers were, I think, sleepwalking on that game 2 Sunday night.
123-107 loss. They were down
59-41 at halftime. Yep. Just they did not bring it in game 2. Otherwise, I think this has been a great series. Alex Caruso. This is another player. We're talking about Pascal Siakam. You probably don't remember him playing college basketball at New Mexico State, right? Yep, not many people would. He played 2 years in the Las Cruces before he entered the NBA draft, first round pick of the Raptors.
Was Chris Jans there when he was at New Mexico State, or was he?
I think Jans might have been there after Caruso, but not quite exactly sure on the timeline. But again, Siakam played at New Mexico State. Alex Caruso, not many people would recall him in college hoops either. Texas A&M.
Undrafted out of Texas A&M.
Yep, and he never averaged double figures in scoring. He started, I think, 120 games at Texas A&M, never averaged double figures in scoring, and here he is, one of the most important players on an NBA Finals team.
And he's going to be on the verge.
He helped the Lakers win a championship in 2020.
That's what I was going to say, man. He's on the verge of winning his second career NBA title, which is really damn impressive. So, we'll see how this ultimately plays out. I'm looking back. Chris Jans, his first year at New Mexico State was 2018, and Pascal Siakam was not on that team. Siakam was there. I don't know when Siakam's last year at New Mexico State was. It was 2016, so he 17. Missed him by a couple of years there in Las Cruces, Matt, as Oklahoma City hits a 3 to up their lead to 9 right now, 26-17, spread out to 12.5 total, 226.5. Quick update from the College World Series. Well, there is no update. They've continued to be in a rain delay as it looks very dark in Omaha. A lot of storm clouds over Charles Schwab Field as UCLA and LSU are playing. They're in the top of the fourth inning, and LSU leads 5-3. A quick look around Major League Baseball, Matt. The return of Giancarlo Stanton tonight has, not brought any runs yet to any of the teams. The Yankees and Angels scoreless in the top of the eighth inning, as we've seen some really good pitching as Jose Serrano has gone 7 scoreless, 6 strikeouts for the Angels, and then Clark Schmidt for the Yankees just was relieved of duty. How about 7 2/3 for Schmidt, 4 hits, no runs, three strikeouts, no walks. A very efficient night for Clark Schmidt, but no runs
speak of. But the Yankees, after getting shut out at Fenway Park on Sunday, getting shut out in the Bronx tonight, Tim, six hits. Jose Soriano should not be shutting down the Yankees lineup tonight in the Bronx. The Yankees are starting to fade. Don't look now. But Will Hill, we're going to talk about it on the Tuesday night show. Yankees are definitely coming back to the pack in the American League East. And tonight, in a scoreless game with the Angels in the eighth inning. Right now, the big story in baseball tonight, before Shohei Ohtani takes the mound for the Dodgers, how about the Washington Nationals Nationals losing a home to the Rockies? What's going on here, Tim?
Kyle Finnegan, the closer for the Nationals, entered tonight, Matt. He had not given up a home run all year. He gave up two in the top of the ninth inning. And the Washington Nationals, who have now lost, I believe, seven straight, are looking like they will continue said losing streak in a series that everybody is focused on in the nation's capital, Matt. Nats Rockies doesn't get much better than what we're seeing there in D.C.
This is interesting, though. Probably for one of the few times this season, the Rockies attracted sharp money.
Yeah.
Overnight, Circa opened the Washington Nationals -202 and it closed -155. Money on the Rockies, and it looks like it's on the right side.
Well, a 8-game losing streak about to become a 9-game losing streak. But you mentioned it. Shohei Ohtani does make his pitching debut tonight, Matt. What do we expect from Shohei Ohtani? We mentioned it to start the show.
Utah, give me two. innings most.
Yeah, I would
two
say.
Stops.
And that's the interesting thing, Matt, about Shohei Ohtani, because he is an elite bat. He is the MVP a year ago and didn't pitch at all as Benedict Mathurin buries a three. He can't do a rehab start. So this is his rehab start.
Well, he pitched. I think he threw
a simulated game.
Simulated game, 40 pitches, I think, at Petco Park last week when the Dodgers were in San Diego. So he has been throwing to live batters, just not the typical simulated minor league start or the minor league rehab start that you would typically make.
Yeah. And
I think Ohtani's probably going to work one or two innings tonight. Dodgers going to slowly ramp him up. And I think by the time you get to the All-Star break, after the All-Star break in July, he's going to be cut loose to go out there and throw 90, 100 pitches on most of the starts. It's amazing how many pitchers the Dodgers have injured at this point. Blake Snell, Tyler Glasnow, Tony Gonsolin, and they have one more. They have four starters right now that they Sasaki, the Japanese starter that they signed. They've got four guys they expected to be in their starting rotation, Tim, who are out with injuries right now.
All right, let's get back to the NBA Finals here. 27 seconds to go in the opening quarter, Matt. 7-point lead for the Oklahoma City Thunder as they now have upped that lead to 10 after they hit a three-pointer. So your live line right now sits Oklahoma City -12.5 total. How about this, Matt? Got as high as 235.5. It is now back down to the pre-flop number of 225.5.
All right, so it's 32-22 after the first quarter here. The Pacers get denied at the rim a couple times in the final 2 seconds of the first quarter. So Pacers trail by 10. Live number 12.5, total 222.5, the money line all the way up to -720. This is not the type of first quarter I would have scripted. You know, if you're taking the Pacers and the points, you want to play OKC on the money line, you're hoping it was going to be flipped where the Pacers would have the lead at this point. Tim, where is Tyrese Halliburton?
0 points, 2 assists, -10.
Wow.
Right now for Tyrese Halliburton.
You're going to need a lot more out of your point guard in a situation like this. I'm tired of all the talk. Is he a superstar? Is he not? He is not a superstar. He is a star. He's an all-star type of player, a great player, but he's not a superstar. And, Tim, if you're a superstar, you can't have these off games like he has here in the finals. You cannot disappear in big games like this. And again, he's disappeared in the first quarter tonight.
His live player prop is down to 13.5, depending on what book you looked at. It closed at either 17.5, or as we talked to Jeff Sherman from the Westgate Superbook, it was a 16.5 juiced over and scoreless there in the first quarter. Shea Gilgeous-Alexander, 7 points in the opening quarter, Matt. His number down to 33.5. Not too far off from where it started. Chet Holmgren had 5 points. Pretty balanced scoring in the opening quarter there across the board. Leading scorer in the game, SGA, with 7. Jalen Williams with 6. Leading the way for the Indiana Pacers, someone that you actually liked his prop, was Pascal Siakam. He has 6 points in the opening quarter. So a 10-point lead after the first quarter, Matt. Oklahoma City with that 10-point lead. 7 turnovers in the opening quarter for the Indiana Pacers.
7's way too many, and 0 is way too few, talking about Tyrese Halliburton points in the first quarter. So that's why the Pacers are down 32-22. They shoot 3-for-8 from 3, but also 3-for-5 from the free throw line, and they just did not get any fast break opportunities, Tim. I don't like the way the Pacers played that first quarter. They're going to have to – Rick Carlisle is going to have to make some adjustments here. Tyrese Halliburton's going to have to get a lot more aggressive. This is not going to work the way the Pacers played this first 12 minutes.
You know, we talked about the late money coming in on Oklahoma City as well, excuse me, on Indiana, as well as the under, Matt. And as we look over our shoulder, by the way, great showing here in the sports book tonight. It is a pretty packed house for game 5 of the NBA finals, but 221.5 is the number right now. So it's funny, this thing got off to a great start. I wish I was smart enough to take that under. It did feel like there would be some aggression, Matt. It got as high as 235.5, but after 12 minutes, we're back down to pretty much where we started at 221.5.
The Pacers just did not do much offensively to press the issue there in the first quarter. I think you're going to see the Pacers try to get out and run and push this pace a lot faster in the second quarter.
Wes Reynolds will join us at halftime as the second quarter about to get underway. Thunder up 10 on the Pacers.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Second quarter underway in Oklahoma City. Alongside Matt Humans, I'm Tim Murray. The Thunder with an 11-point lead over the Indiana Pacers. Funny how things can change from game to game, Matt. Game 4 in Indianapolis, the Oklahoma City Thunder shot 3 of 16 from long range. Tonight, they've already made 5 three-pointers. They're 5 of 9 from 3. And how about Aaron Wiggins and Cason Wallace, a combined 4 for 4 from outside the arc?
Tyrese Halliburton also back in the locker room with his leg wrapped up, some sort of
contraption on his looks like right calf.
Yeah, some sort of injury. I don't know if I would assume he's going to be back in the game. Doesn't look that serious. But Tim, again, talking about the three-point shooting for the Thunder, what was it the previous game?
Three of 16. 5 of 9 so far tonight.
That's why you always talk about, instead of betting on what you watched most recently, bet the opposite of what you watched most recently. If you saw the Thunder fail to hit threes on Friday night, you had to think, well, they're probably going to come out tonight and hit a bunch of threes. Bet the opposite of what you saw last. And a lot of people tend to do the exact opposite of that. A lot of people tend to bet on what they saw last, and that's not the way to play it. And if we'll talk about that a lot during the NFL season, too, because the recency bias angle is what gets a lot of bettors into trouble. Pacers are going to make it 3 here, 38-29, and live number 11.5, total 220.5. What are you laughing about?
So you always hear the saying, role players play better at home, right? Mm-hmm. I want to read you the last 4 games for Aaron Wiggins. Game 2, he had this massive coming out party, as that 3 that you mentioned was courtesy of TJ McConnell. He hit 5 three-pointers, Matt. Aaron Wiggins did, off the bench in game 2, had 18 points. On the road against Indiana, Matt, he had a combined 1 point in 2 games, and here tonight, Aaron Wiggins has already made 3 three-pointers. He has 9 points already for the Oklahoma City Thunder. So Aaron Wiggins, who went 0-5 from the field in 2 games at Indiana, has hit 3 three-pointers already tonight as the Thunder lead 39-29, as I believe we will have some free throws here from Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. Pascal Siakam, You hit on it, Matt, and a bet that I didn't make. I wish I did. His over on his points. Siakam leading the way right now for the Pacers with 10 points. He's kind of stepping up with the absence so far of Tyrese Halliburton. And look, Tyrese Halliburton is just taking his normal rest. He plays the full most of the first quarter. And now he's re-entering the game, but no points, 2 assists, 0 of 2 from the field so far for Tyrese Halliburton.
10 minutes. He's basically done nothing. And that's got to change here, and change in a big way. 40-32, Thunder lead the Pacers. And somebody's going to hit a 3 for the Pacers here. You know what's interesting about Siakam? He's already got 4 free throw attempts tonight. He had 7. That was Aaron Nesmith, by the way, who missed the 3. Pacers got the offensive rebound, and Nesmith hit the second attempt from the corner to cut it to 40-32. Siakam came into tonight averaging 7.3 free throw attempts per game in the finals, which is a lot for a guy who doesn't rely on a lot of dribble drives to get his points. He's already got 4 free throw attempts tonight, Tim. So when you're talking about the player prop for Siakam and the points prop, that's a big reason why he's getting over these numbers. In 3 of the 4 games, he scored more than 18 points. He's already got 10 tonight. He's going to the free throw line a lot in this series.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it. You know, it's funny. I was just thinking back because I remember – you and I were on the air, and by the way, Matt and I will be on the air next Wednesday night for the NBA draft. We'll have our NBA draft coverage. Matt and I will be taking you through the first round of the NBA draft. The second round will be on Thursday. But I was thinking back to the 2022 draft, and Aaron Nesmith, I believe, was the 13th overall pick in that year's draft by the Boston Celtics. And 1 year later, Matt, he was traded to the Indiana Pacers as a package deal for Malcolm Brogdon. That has worked out quite well for the Indiana Pacers, acquiring Aaron Nesmith. He has been a great role player for the Indiana Pacers. And a very good shooter, too. He's hit a couple of threes already. Remember, I mean, when he was at Vanderbilt, he was a very good three-point shooter. He's hit 2 threes already tonight, Matt. 40-32 is where we sit right now as we've got a media timeout
Pacers
there.
Pacers starting lineup, Tim, from New Mexico State, Vanderbilt, Texas, Gonzaga, and Iowa State.
Not your blue bloods. Well, Gonzaga is getting up there as a well-known, but it wasn't like he was Chet Holmgren. Chet Holmgren at Gonzaga was the number 2 overall pick. And then you look at Aaron Nesmith. He was a guy that went in the second round. Or not, excuse me, Andrew Nembhard. 31st overall pick. Live line right now, 10.5. Total, 223.5. So we've played 16 minutes of basketball, Matt, and we're pretty much where we were to start this game, which is Thunder, 10.5 point favorite. They closed around 9, 9.5. Total 223.5. That closed at 223, 222.5. So pretty much where we were. Taking a look at some of the live player prop numbers. This is where things have shifted. Tyrese Halliburton is now down to 11.5, Matt, is his live player prop number. And Pascal Siakam is up to 21.5. SGA right around where he was at the start of the game. He's got 9 points so far, and he sits at 33.5, juiced over at minus $1.20. He closed at around 34.5. SGA so far tonight, Matt, he has got 9 points, just 2 of 3 from the field, but has gotten to the line. You know, one thing I'll say this, SGA and Jalen Williams, one of the big reasons they ended up winning Game 4, they don't miss free throws. I think they went a combined 21 for 21, somewhere like that. SGA,
they don't miss many.
Jalen Williams.
Don't miss many. And Benedict Mathurin missed 3 big free throws at the end for the Pacers on Friday night.
All right, let's look around Major League Baseball. What else is unfolding here? Still scoreless in the Bronx, Matt. Yankees and Angels, top of the 9th inning. And right now the Angels have a man on first with 1 out. So
this is unacceptable. Unacceptable for the Yankees to go back-to-back 9-inning games without scoring. What the hell is going on here?
Yankees over the weekend get swept by the Red Sox and score a combined 4 runs at Fenway Park. And now they have been blanked through 8 innings, top of the 9th inning there. And Devin Williams is on the mound for the New York Yankees in that one. We've got bases loaded, top of the 9th inning. The Phillies trying to extend their lead as they lead 3-2 over the Marlins. And watch out, ladies and gentlemen, the Colorado Rockies, they're getting hot. They've won, I think, 15 games now as the Nationals have dropped 9 in a row, got swept over the weekend by the Marlins, Matt. You had a rant from Davey Martinez saying it's never the coach's fault. And they have not responded well to that said rant. They have lost 9 in a row.
How about the Rockies putting a 10-1 beating on the Braves on Sunday?
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I think a lot of those people who said the Rockies were not going to win 40 games might have to sweat out that number. This Rockies team with sneaking up on a couple of opponents recently with some surprise wins. Thunder up 44-32 here. Again, the Pacers just not getting enough done offensively. And Tyrese Halliburton just not doing enough here. I'm really troubled about the Pacers plus 9.5 bet at this point because I didn't expect Halliburton to be a complete no-show. Tim, we got 7 minutes to go before halftime, and the Pacers point guard has done nothing tonight.
And I wouldn't mind him continuing to do nothing because my one pregame position was under 8.5 assists for Tyrese Halliburton. He does have 2 assists, but no points. You know, it's funny, Matt. I said, I'm not going to play the points and assists prop. I think he might get his points. Well, he's gotten no points so far in this one. So not a great read on that standpoint for me. At least I didn't bet over on his point prop. His live point total is now 11.5 as he is scoreless as we have a break in the action, Matt. 7:14 to go, 44-32. Live total sits at 223.5. Spread 13.5 in the Thunder. -810 on the money line right now. If you think that the Thunder are going to run away and hide tonight, looking at some of the alt spreads, -17.5 is +140 right now for the Oklahoma City Thunder as they lead 44-32. Look, they're the cockroaches for a reason. This is a team that does not tend to go away. That is the Indiana Pacers. And if we've learned anything from this postseason, whether it be the Knicks comebacks or the Pacers' 4 improbable comebacks all throughout the postseason, this thing ain't over yet. But it certainly doesn't look promising for the Indiana Pacers tonight as the Thunder
lead. No, it's a long way from over. There's no doubt about that. The live number's up to 13.5. We've seen deficits like this wiped out in 2 or 3 minutes, but Pacers have got to find something here.
Pacers were down 15 with 9 minutes to go in the fourth quarter of game one.
They've got to find something to spark their point guard. Tyrese Halliburton, again, just not doing enough tonight. Down 12, and he's been a no-show.
NBA Finals, as you know, folks, we're watching one right now. And the Stanley Cup Final, does it wrap up tomorrow night down in Sunrise? Well, Profit X, they're still going on, is offering the best odds all playoffs long. ProfitX is a peer-to-peer sports exchange available in 40-plus states, the first of its kind in the U.S. You'll be able to make your sports picks against other groups of fans rather than against sportsbooks. Exchanges guarantee you the best odds by, on average, 10 to 20%. Download ProfitX today and use the code VSIN, V-S-I-N, and earn up to $200 in profit cash over your first month.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Man, as you look at the sports book coming back from break here, Matt Eumanns, 11 turnovers already by the Indiana Pacers. And that last possession that we just watched, the defense that the Oklahoma City Thunder are putting on Tyrese Halliburton, whew, buddy, they are... they call Lou Dort the Dortcher Chamber. It feels like everybody that is guarding Tyrese Halliburton is putting him in some sort of torture chamber as the Thunder on a 7-0 run right now. And they have a very comfortable lead as Miles Turner going to head to the free throw line here for a couple of free throws. 13.5 point spread right now for the Thunder. Total has now dipped down to 220.5. So once upon a time, it got up to 235.5 during that first quarter. It was bang, bang, boom, 13-12 before the first media timeout, and things have really calmed down, and the Thunder defense has stepped up and has played exceptionally well here.
Well, you know, in that possession, the Pacers actually did a great job defending Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. But he used his body to push off the defender, step back, create some separation, and hit his jumper. That's how Tyrese Halliburton is going to do. You're not going to get wide open shots all the time. You got to create your own space and your own shots, and Halliburton's not doing that tonight. I thought the last two possessions for the Pacers in the half court, Halliburton did a horrible job of running the offense, Tim. At one point, he was backpedaling near half court with about 10 seconds to go on the shot clock. Pacers got to do a much better job here just getting into their offense. They're totally out of sync right now. I'm going to give the OKCD a decent amount of credit for this, but the Pacers also just not doing what they need to do offensively to attack the basket and create some scoring opportunities here against the Thunder. And I put a lot of that on the point guard. I can't give the defense all the credit because I just don't see the Pacers doing enough here to try to create their own scoring opportunities.
Matt, let me throw something your way. Now, Logan Gilbert is making his first start since June 16th. Mm-hmm. But, you know, we love situational spots. The Boston Red Sox just swept their arch rival, the New York Yankees, and now they travel to Seattle. And the Seattle Mariners tonight are a -168 favorite here at Circa, Matt. Is this a good spot to go against the Red Sox, who will be starting Lucas Giolito? If I remember correctly, I think Lucas Giolito actually was decent in his last start out. But you had the surprising trade from the Boston Red Sox, obviously, as they head out to the Pacific Northwest. So,
Tim, I'll tell you this. I know where you're headed. As soon as you mentioned the Red Sox, I got a text today from a lifelong Red Sox fan. It was not Chris Massaro. It was someone else. Name Mike. Mike's a lifelong Boston Red Sox supporter, and he sent a text today, and he said, "I don't care what the number is tonight, fade the Red Sox." So, you know, the day after the Rafael Devers trade with the Red Sox off the sweep of the Yankees, headed to the West Coast, Lucas Giolito was terrible in his start against the Angels two starts ago. Last start, he was really good.
Last start was pretty good, yeah.
Two starts ago against the Angels, he was lucky to get out of the first inning. I think he went 1 2/3, gave up 7 runs. But tonight, Logan Gilbert and the Mariners, -165, right in that range. Mike from Boston says, no matter what the number is, lay it tonight with the Mariners. This is a spot where you have to bet against the Red Sox after they swept the Yankees and traded their best hitter.
All right. That game about to get underway there.
And it does seem like a good situational spot for Seattle, right?
It does, yeah. I mean, you never know how teams react, though, off of a trade like that. Do they rally and continue to play better? But, I mean, you know, it wasn't Sunday Night Baseball, so there's not that advantage. But, man, it does feel like this is a pretty rough spot here. Now, what do you expect to get from Logan Gilbert, who's making his first start since the middle of June or of of April? That is certainly a question as well. But yeah, I think this is a pretty decent spot to look at the Seattle Mariners. Would you look at them full game or first five?
Probably full game.
Yeah,
maybe both. Maybe you put a half unit first five, half unit on the game. You could reduce your volatility by playing baseball that way. A lot of times, I'm laughing about the Yankees here. Giancarlo Stanton hit a leadoff double in the ninth. The Aaron Boone Yankees can find ways to screw up anything. Yankees just had a base runner thrown out at third. And I'm not sure what the hell is going on here, but it looks like the Yankees might not score. They got two outs. I believe there's two outs with a runner on first after you had a leadoff double.
Runner on second.
Is it?
Yeah, runner on second. Austin Wells at the plate here for the Yankees in the bottom of the ninth inning. When we get to the half, Wes Reynolds will jump on the program to give us his analysis of what we saw. How about Wes's weekend, Matt? He goes to Indianapolis. He goes to game three. He goes to game four. Hangs around, and he said, you know what? I'm going to go watch Caitlin Clark's return. And she and the Fever go out and hand the New York Liberty their first loss of the season. And Caitlin Clark went 32 and I think she had a 35-5 game, third time in her career. She's had a 35-5.
She had five threes in the first half. I believe 25 points in the first half. And, Tim, she was knocking down threes from 30 feet.
Yeah.
It was sick what she was doing. And the Pacers need somebody like Caitlin Clark tonight because Pacers not getting it done from three right now. 5 for 14. And OKC about to hit another three here to go up 16. 52-36. Pacers do get a bucket here. 52-38 with 3 minutes to go in a half.
So, Matt, you found a clip from earlier today. It was Tim Legler. I believe he was on SiriusXM NBA Radio regarding the Pacers and their plan and their game plan heading into tonight. So as they're down 14 right now, I think this is a good time to hear from Tim Legler earlier today about the Pacers heading into game five of the NBA Finals.
The one thing Indiana cannot do, obviously, you can't let them get away from you in the first half.
Yeah.
Keep them within an arm's length, and you know what's going to happen. 6 minutes to go or less in this building, you're in a one possession game. All of that nervous energy gets transferred down to the court, because now the home team knows if they lose this game, they could go get closed out on the road.
Yeah.
It's amazing how many times I've seen that. 2-2, game five at home, tight. That team starts getting a little bit unhinged, and they get tight, and guys pass stuff up. They don't look like themselves offensively. Now, look, they do have Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, who's not going to fall into that trap. But what does Indiana do to make sure he gives it up, and who's going to be willing to step up? So that's the big thing for Indiana. Just be within striking distance. Make them feel the pressure of making shots at home with what the next game is going to lead to, potentially a closeout on the road. And Oklahoma City might start to feel some of that.
You know, Legs is such a good analyst. It's amazing that ESPN on their goofy pregame and halftime shows, they have like Big Perk and Stephen A. Legs is the sharpest analyst at NBA analyst at ESPN. And he's right about staying within striking distance. But Tim, right now,
is this striking distance?
The Pacers are losing touch with the Thunder. And that's exactly what Legs said they cannot do, right? You got to stay within striking distance. Right now, down 17 with 2.5 minutes to go in the half.
Jalen Williams has 16 points. He has been great again for the Oklahoma City Thunder. SGA at the free throw line. He's perfect from the free throw line so far this evening. 2.5 minutes to go in the second quarter. Update on Tyrese Haliburton. He's a minus 15, no points, 2 assists, 1 turnover. Tyrese Haliburton, I know, you know, the plus minus can be skewed at times, Matt, but he is a game worst minus 15 right now.
He's done nothing. Nothing positive, really. He had 2 assists early, so I can't say he did nothing. He's done nearly nothing, because after those first 2 assists, Tim, when you were all upset because you had the assist prop,
it's done.
You're
over
here throwing a fit. He hasn't done a thing.
I wasn't throwing a fit. I wasn't happy.
He hasn't done a thing since then. 56-38 right now. The Pacers are not staying within striking distance. And we got 2 minutes to go and a half. Pacers will get a bucket here, 56-40. But Tyrese Haliburton, a ghost again tonight. And you cannot play Patrick Swayze in game five of the NBA Finals. So I know that's one of your favorite movies, Ghost, right?
I'm a big pottery guy, you know.
That's what I thought.
56-41 tonight there. By the way, still in a rain delay in Omaha, UCLA and LSU. I don't know how somehow we can concoct that game to return and have no runs scored. That would be nice. 5-3, LSU has the lead in that one. You know, it's funny. We talk about it so much on this show. Live betting, we try to find the right times. I'll give you 2 examples tonight of the times that you could have. Not saying that we did it, but could have. Now, one we recommended, the other not so much. LSU, minus $3 favorite against UCLA, give up 3 runs in the top of the first. Before they stepped to the plate, they were a plus money underdog. They scored 4 runs in the bottom of the first. They are significant favorites now. How about the total in this one, Matt? You see sharp money hitting the market before the game closes, goes down to 223.5 here at Circa, gets as high as 235.5. Right now, Matt, as the clamps have been put down, 220.5. You could have yourself a 15-point edge now.
You could also have 14.5 if you wanted to play the Pacers, right? Plus 14.5.
We'll get to that on the other side. When is it time to look at the Pacers? Yeah. We'll discuss that on the other side. Is Benedict Mathurin going to shoot some free throws under 2 minutes to go in the first half?
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Time in Oklahoma City, the Thunder have a 59-45 lead over the Indiana Pacers. That's Matt Eumanns. I'm Tim Murray, your live line at DraftKings right now at the break. Thunder minus 14.5, and how about the total? 217 and a half as this game came to a bit of a screeching halt there, Matt, after a very fast start.
Oh, the Pacers' offense has come to a screeching halt. 22 points in the first quarter, 23 in the second. Tim, that's not going to get it done. That's why they're in a hole tonight by 14 at the half, 59-45. And Pacers have a lot of time here, but they're going to have to make some adjustments because this half-court offense is not working against the OKC defensive pressure. Live line, 14.5, and like you said, the total now as high as 235.5 down to 217.5, and that's because the Pacers can't get easy buckets. Tim, you and I just watched a couple of fast break opportunities right there in the last 2 minutes of the half, and the Pacers couldn't get squat, even on the fast break, and that's where you have to give Oklahoma City credit for playing that type of defense. It's going to give the Pacers a lot of trouble. We knew that coming into the series, but I thought at this point that Rick Carlisle and Tyrese Haliburton would figure some things out. They're just not getting any easy baskets.
Well, we'll see if they do figure it out. And to help us, give us his analysis of the first half and what we just saw, a gentleman who was at Gainbridge Fieldhouse for Game 3 and Game 4. It is our own Wes Reynolds who joins us right now, courtesy of our Progressive guest line. And Wes, we'll start with Tyrese Haliburton, a goose egg for him from a point scoring standpoint. So when you look at his, you know, adjusted prop, it's now down to 6.5. So after a terrible first half for Tyrese Haliburton, what do you expect to see from number zero in the second half? His points match his jersey number right now.
Yeah, it does. And I don't see much more because he's battling that leg. Looks like it's bothering him. Now he's playing through it and he did come back. But just like what Matt said in the lead-in, no easy buckets, because when they get transition opportunities, they have horrible spacing on those transition opportunities. And that's why the Thunder are able to meet everything at the rim and contest all the shots. And then when you turn it over double-digit times like they did in the first half, it wasn't quite as bad as it was in game number one. But this many turnovers, you're just giving them extra possessions and extra shot attempts. So I'm not sure what to expect out of Tyrese Haliburton. I think we may see more TJ McConnell minutes in the second half, because the one thing about McConnell, like when he goes with the ball, he moves the ball with a purpose. And you saw the Pacers get stagnant at the end of game number four, too much dribbling with Nembhard and Haliburton. So they need somebody that's going to be able to drive the ball and get some wide open threes that they're not knocking down right now.
I agree, Wes. I was thinking about the same thing. More McConnell, more Nembhard, more Benedict Mathurin. I think that's probably what the Pacers need right now. If Tyrese Haliburton is not going to step up and be more aggressive, and maybe he's limited by the leg, but he's just not getting it done out there. And Pacers are going to have to change something here, because we talk about pace with this team. Wes, they are not playing at a fast pace at all. They are basically walking the ball up the floor. They're getting stopped whenever they try to get on the break. And you recall the Knicks series. The Pacers feasted off points off turnovers against the Knicks. They're not getting any of that against the Thunder. So how do you think Rick Carlisle adjusts?
Yeah, I think, you got to have, I think, Pascal also be a little bit more of a creator. I thought when they got the ball to him in the post, he was able to score and get fouled every time. You've almost got to use him like as a point forward. It's kind of a copycat scenario, because that's what we saw the Thunder do with Jalen Williams a lot in the second half, where it wasn't just Shea bringing the ball up the floor. Sometimes they could steal possessions and have Caruso bring it up and then have Jalen Williams facilitate off the wing and also out of the post. And that's what I think you got to do. You got to have Pascal do it. This has got to be Pascal probably carrying him here a little bit. He's got 10 in the first half, picked up a couple fouls, but you've got to have him facilitate as well, because I just don't know what we're going to get out of Tyrese Haliburton at this point in the second half.
Wes Reynolds joining us courtesy of our Progressive guest line, helping us break down what we saw the first 24 minutes in Oklahoma City. Halftime score, Thunder 59, Pacers 45. Live total sits at 218.5. So we're starting to see these second half numbers pop. Wes, we've got a pick 'em at most shops for the second half. Total of 113. We had 104 points in that first half as things really came to a kind of a screeching halt, as I mentioned. 10 turnovers from the Pacers. What are you expecting in the second half from a total standpoint and from a side standpoint as we sit here with the Thunder up 14?
Yeah, I think the total at 113 is about right. I took some 224 before the game. Did lose the first half, unfortunately. Took the Pacers plus 6.5, but I think you're going to get more of the same. I think Oklahoma City is fine with this pace. I think that they're fine, you know, being a little bit more deliberate in the half court and experimenting, playing that double big lineup a little bit. And I just, the Pacers are going to have to live at the 3-point line, and then they're going to have to make them, and they're going to have to outshoot these guys, kind of like they did in game number one when they stole it. The Thunder made 8 of 17 threes. They won on Friday night, only making three of them. And the Thunder, they pointed out on the broadcast, they don't need to hit threes to win. The Pacers, I think, do it at this standpoint. And the Thunder, if they're knocking down those shots, I just don't know what the Pacers are going to be able to do from that standpoint.
5 for 16, Pacers from three. That's not going to get it done. And Wes, you were in Indianapolis for games 3 and 4. The Pacers did not shoot the three that well. On their home floor, I thought they were going to shoot it a lot better, about 28% from home in those two games. But they found a split, and they should have won both. You were in the arena Friday night when the Pacers let that 10-point lead slip away in the second half. Did you feel like after the game that the Pacers just let one get away? They stole game one. They gave game four right back to the Thunder. And you probably felt like if the Pacers could win Friday night and go up 3-1, you were going to be watching an NBA championship banner get hung in that arena. Did you feel like the Pacers blew it on Friday night?
Yeah, I do think that they blew the game. I didn't think that they blew the series necessarily going in. But Oklahoma City, look, they flipped the switch defensively in the fourth quarter. The Pacers had 0.68 points per possession in the final quarter, which is a paltry number. And I thought Oklahoma City down the stretch, you know, being able to have multiple guys bring up the ball at the end where it wasn't just Shea running that isolation, because that's what I thought really cost them in game three, where they only had, I think, one basket in the final 5:57. This time they got Shea in motion and where he wasn't, you know, necessarily in isolation. And I thought that that was big for them. And then I thought the Pacers got stagnant offensively, just too much dribbling. And there would be times where Tyrese would drive, and they were so successful driving to the paint because that was the point of emphasis. Go to the paint, get to the rim. And every time the Thunder would cut it off and you would see Tyrese have to dribble it back out, or Nembhard have to dribble it back out. And then you have to reset. And then all of a sudden you're dead at the end of the clock. And there were a couple bad threes taken, and then tried to run too much two man pick and roll with Tyrese and Miles Turner, who's not had a very good series, even though he's off to a little better start offensively tonight. But Pascal Siakam was just like standing over in the corner, just like waiting for the ball. This has to be Pascal Siakam. He can't be invisible like he was in the fourth quarter. So I expect a lot of number 43 here in this second half. So if you got overs on his props, you're certainly going to have the opportunity, because I think he's going to have to carry this bunch.
Follow him at Wes Reynolds 1. Yeah, I agree. Pascal Siakam, 10 points in the first half. And the Pacers are going to have to shoot the lights out from three here in the second half. Wes, did you take Pacers plus 9.5 pregame, and how do you feel about Pacers plus 14.5 now?
Yeah, I only took the first half. I did not end up taking 9.5, but would lean a little bit, Matt, just because they are a 48-minute team, and this is dangerous. And, you know, you feel like they're never out of it. And you don't win 14 playoff games just being lucky all the time. So they have, you know, been a resilient bunch. So maybe they got one more punch left in them here. But one thing they got to do, they got to get Pascal involved, and they got to find something else and some kind of different action to run, because what the Pacers like to run, they like to run that double high stuff, those stack screens of Tyrese Halliburton at the top, and he can't get going. And if he's not mobile, then that's where they're going to have to, maybe they can try that with McConnell and then think that that could work again. It did not work on Friday night, but got to establish Pascal here early. The rebounding, I think they're more than holding their own, and then take care of the basketball. You can't have double digit turnovers in the second half.
Betting market does not expect much from Halliburton moving forward. No points, two assists at the half. He's live number 6.5 points, wow. 4.5 assists right now at DraftKings. Wes, appreciate it as always, man. Mm-hmm. We'll talk to you soon.
You got it, guys. Thanks for having me.
There he is.
Tyrese Halliburton reportedly here at halftime has right calf tightness, a sore right ankle, And Tim, if he's not effective, I wouldn't be surprised if Rick Carlisle just goes away from him and goes with a lot more TJ McConnell here in the second half.
And you got to think, too, the season's not over tonight, Matt. Game six is Thursday night. At some point, do you look to shelve him for the rest of the game? We will see. 14-point lead, Thunder up 59-45 at the half. It is VSiN Primetime.